We're beginning Sefer Maasiyot. Although this name has been taken by Rav Nachman Mibreslov over 1,000 years ago, there was a Jew named Rav Nisim Gaon from the Gaonic period. He was from the period shortly after the Talmud. So that takes us back almost 1,500 years ago. And he's quoted by Rav Achai Gaon. It seems that he might have even been from the early Gaonim. The book, it seems, was written in Arabic and translated to Lashon HaKodesh. So we have to be careful when we try to be too medayek, when we try to learn things from it. Some did, I don't know. There are many places where the where the book quotes stories that we have in the Talmud and in the Midrashim, and then there are places where he quotes stories that we don't have at all, that we don't know where he got them from. In some places he quotes stories that the Talmud refers to but doesn't tell us the full story, and this is the only source for the story. We'll begin. The book begins with Sefer Maasiyot Yafeh Mehayshua Ne'um Nisim Bar Yaakov. And we decided that this time we'll read and translate. He is writing the letter to his father-in-law, who just lost a son. And this book was written for that father-in-law. The book will be divided into an initial section, which helps contend with loss, and an initial section which we'll discuss philosophically the different attitudes our sages gave us to contending with laws, and then he will continue with other stories. We will see. He'll spell it out. Adoni vididi, my master and my friend, Yishmocha ha'el v'itzocha, may the Omnipotent watch over you and protect you, v'yotzecha mi'beten yazreka, and the one who fashioned you from the womb, may he help you and assist you, v'yarich yamecha, and grant you longevity, v'yafik zememecha, and allow you to bring to fruition your thoughts. Nitra'amta elai bichtavcha hana'im. You thundered to me with your pleasant letters. Et asher karcha, that which occurred to you, mikotzer ruach v'dagat nefesh v'anchat nefesh, from shortness of breath, from perturbance of soul, from the sighing of the soul. Achar p'tirat bincha nuchato eden. After the passing of your son, may he rest in Eden. Hakel yigdor pirtzecha. May God fix your fence. Vizkircha bevanim zochim lechaim arukim. And may God remember you and grant you children who merit to longevity. Vizacharta bichtavcha, and you mentioned in your letter, sheotzoncha likrot sefer, that you would like to read a book, yenachem otcha, that will comfort you, vizsamach libcha, and give you happiness, v'yasil da'agatcha, and remove your worry, v'tzukat anatcha, anachatcha, and the sorrows of your sighings. V'odatani, and you let me know, sheyesh laminim, that the Christians have, sefer, a book, mechumar mishuach al tzuka v'tzara, that describes how after a terrible situation, a person finds salvation. U'mipnei ba'avur kvodcha u'tzoncha, and because I honor you, and this is your desire, shu nichbad alai, that your honor and your desire are honorable by me, v'chashuvcha yakar, and because you are so important by me, u'letavatcha b'divrei Torah, and because you so desire the words of Torah, bikashtem himeni lechaber sefer Torah, tore lecha b'ze ha'inyan. You ask that I compile a work that will guide you in this matter, min ma'asiyot ha'chachamim ha'chasidim razal, from the stories that occurred to our sages and our pious people, our teachers, may their memory be blessed, שלא תהיה צריך לקרוא בספרי חיצוניות, חיצוני מתורתנו. So you shouldn't have to read any book outside the works of our Torah. מיהלתי לעשות את בקשתך שאלתך. I quickly did your request, that which you asked of me. אף על פי שאיני נכון והגון לחבר ספרים, even though I'm not fitting to write any works, אבל רצוני למלות רצונך, but my desire to fulfill your desire, ולהשלים חפצך, and to do that which you want, וחיבתך and my love for you, והם יעברוני על כל זאת. They made me blind to the fact that I'm really not worthy to compile such a work. ואני שואל מהקדוש ברוך הוא, and I ask of the Holy One, blessed be He, לעוזרני ולהדריכני בדרך ישרה, to assist me and guide me in a straight path, ובשביל האמת, and on the path of truth, הקדמתי חיבור ספר זה על מה שאני עושה. I gave this work precedence over what I'm doing, מפני בעבור כבודך, out of honor for you, וגודל מעלתך וחוכמתך אצלי, because I value you so much, and you're so elevated and wise, I consider you to be so elevated and wise. ועוד, and furthermore, מפני שאני בוטח בבורא יתעלה שמו, because I have confidence in the Creator, His name is exalted, שירבה שכרי ופעולתי לעולם הבא, that He will give me more wages and more in the world to come, כמו שאמרו רזל, as our sages taught, כמה גדול שכר המשמח לביש דואג, how great are the wages of one who gives happiness to a person who is worried, ונענח, and a person who is sighing, ומנחם נפש כואבת ונעצבת, and he who comforts a soul that is in pain and sorrow, ומדבר על לב כואב בתוגות והנחות, and he who speaks upon the heart that is in pain from weeping and sighing, ששכרו הרבה ופעולתו מזכותו שלמה, that he has much wages, and ultimately he will be paid back in completion. So that's why I gave you precedence. And he is about to begin his first story in that vein, but we have a question. Yes?
These two are very good friends.
If I remember correctly, it is his father-in-law. Over here, I didn't see it written. I don't remember where I got this from, but if I remember correctly, he's writing to his father-in-law.
His father-in-law, who lost a son.
Correct. That's what I remember, even though I don't remember where I got that from.
Well, at least they're friends.
You see, he's writing to him with reverence.
He's so,
right.
But he says he's mentioning now that he's happy with the fact that he'll probably get bigger wages for this.
Right, says that too, which is probably a lead-in to, says it in the front cover.
Which is interesting.
That he wrote it to his father-in-law, whose name was Dunash.
So he had that desire to have wages.
So that's an interesting point. It could be that he mentions his wages in the world to come. It could be for one of many reasons. It could be he's being honest. The way of our sages was always to admit what they had to gain, not to make themselves seem altruistic beyond what they really were. It was a level of honesty that our sages always aspired to. The world often tries to show you how I'm doing you a favor. I want to do it for you. And our sages always did the opposite. They always showed what I have to gain from it. It was a level of honesty they aspired to. So it could be that that's what he's saying. He's saying, I love you, I honor you, I admire you, I'm going to do it out of honor for you and because I expect to get wages in the world to come. It could be it's to ensure that he feels comfortable, that he invested so much time. He's telling them, you know, I gave your request precedence over everything else I do. So it could be he wants him to feel comfortable with it, so that's why he's telling him. And it could be there's a deeper reason. Rav Shlomo Fisher has a whole long essay about when one is permitted to do something for the sake of wages. He says, it says, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I want to enter the land of Israel. What did he want to enter the land of Israel for? Was it to eat the fruits? Or was he interested in eating an Israeli date, an Israeli pomegranate? That's what he needed? So it says, Moshe said to God, I want to enter the land of Israel to do the mitzvos of the land of Israel and get wages for them. So why does he add, Va'kabel igra, and I'll get wages? Why is that a point that's mentioned there? So Shlomo Fisher proves from different sources that when we do a mitzvah that we're obligated to do, then we have to do it for the sake of the mitzvah, and the wages are yet to come. But when a person does not have an obligation to do a mitzvah, and then he goes beyond the call of duty to put himself in a situation to do that mitzvah, that's different. There you could say, I'm doing it for the sechar. There it's different, because I'm not in a situation where God expected of me. So what am I doing? Out of my love for Hashem, I'm going beyond the call of duty. And there I can expect the payback. He has a whole long essay on that, that there's a difference between the things you're obligated to do and the things you go out of your way. What's Moshe doing? God said, it's mine. You die out here, that you've done your job. So Moshe's finished his duties in this world. And Moshe says, no, I still want to go into the land of Israel. I still want to do more mitzvahs. I want to serve you better. I can't serve you as much out here as I could in there. So he's putting himself in a situation that's beyond the call of duty. So he says, when one does that, and he's illustrating his love for Hashem, that he's going beyond the call of duty, so there it's also fair to do it more for the sake of the wages. Okay, I'm taking a whole long essay and summarizing it in a minute, but I'm just saying, maybe there's some of that in here too. Yeah. Right.
And Moshe still wanted to go in, even though
right.
He didn't
get
the wages.
Right. That's why I was careful to say that part of it. I didn't say that was the whole point of Moshe doing it.
Okay.
Yes. No. Amru Razal, let's just get in one story before we have to. Amru Ravateinu Zal. Our sage is saying, he's quoting. A story that's quoted in our Talmud, in the Gemara in Tanis. Rabbi Broka was walking in the marketplace until Eliyahu came towards him. Eliyahu appeared to him, and Dimeimon and spoke with him. Rabbi Broka asked Eliyahu and said to him, Hayesh bashuk hazeh adam zochel chaya olam haba? Is there anyone in the marketplace that will merit the world to come? Vayan vayomer lo. Eliyahu says no. Now we have to understand that a shuk in their days had 600,000 people. So over 500,000 people are standing in front of Rabbi Broka. He's standing in this bustling marketplace. And Eliyahu says, no one here is getting the world to come. Okay, that's a pretty scary statement. I don't think it includes Rabbi Broka. They're still talking. A man passes by and he's not wearing tzitzis, and he's wearing black shoes. And in those days, the custom was that Jews always wore tzitzis, and they did not wear dark shoes. So here you have a Jew that's dressed like a non-Jew. You have a Jew in our day and age, he has a cuckoo, he has an earring, he has who knows what, a dark leather jacket. And Eliyahu says to Rabbi Broka, Vayomelo Eliyahu, Zayi Shavar Aleinu Miroshe Gan Eden. Rabbi Broka says, that man, he's going to get the world to come. Vaikreu Rabbi Broka. So Rabbi Broka hears that from Eliyahu. So he calls the man. He says, Rabid, v'lo anau. The guy doesn't answer. Vaishal reshut me Eliyahu. So he asks permission. He says, Rabbi, could I go after him? Eliyahu says, go. Vayahu tzachara vayasigil. He runs after the man and he catches up to him. So he wants to know, what's this guy going to get the world to come for? We'll pick up your bezachim next time.
I remember this story. Is this in another
sefer,
or is it from the Gemara?
It's a Gemara in Tanis. Okay, we don't have time. We'll pick up here next time.